That's some serious prayer. All night, outdoors, up a mountain. Jesus was on a kind of a retreat, I guess, giving up the human comfort of sleep so that he could be energized in the Father's embrace and enlightened to make the decisions that would ultimately form the church, the choosing of those who would lead it. I've heard of people entering into intense prayer when they have a significant decision to make. Personally, I feel more like the disciples who tend to fall asleep when it comes to praying at night, whether in front of the Blessed Sacrament at church or at home in my chair. Now, of course, one can pray anywhere, and I'm sure Jesus did. But St. Luke makes sure that we know the spiritual movement of Jesus towards the Father because he went up the mountain to pray. The mountain always represents the heights from where God visits his people. It looks like Jesus had taken those disciples closest to him up the mountain. At least a certain way he must have taken them, because later on they went down together to a level place, down to the people. It is God alone in Jesus Christ who leads us up the mountain to our Heavenly Father, and it is God who has come down to us, his people. Who is there on that level place where Jesus goes to meet them? Well, there's a great crowd of disciples, those who are already his disciples, and a great multitude of people from all nations. It's too many to count. That's kind of the point. Great crowds, great multitudes. Christ's saving mission is obviously to the whole world. That great multitude includes those who are not yet disciples, some who come from close by, those in Judea, which is primarily Jews. It includes those in Jerusalem, a little farther away, where the temple was. But it also includes those who are from Tyre and Sidon. Those are Gentile towns. And in Luke's passage, they represent the rest of the world, the ends of the earth, to whom the gospel will be proclaimed. All will be given the opportunity to become part of the great cloud of witnesses, his disciples. And it's really not just a geographical reference, but it means all people from all time. That's my strongest feeling, including us in our time. They are down below on the mountain, below the mountain. They have not yet gone up the mountain into God's presence. They are not yet people who pray and have a relationship with God. Even the disciples need to learn this. They are still down below. So why are we part of a multitude going to where Jesus is? And who is on that list? Well, St. Luke tells us. It's the same list of categories of people today, I would say, who are longing for something that is missing in their lives. It is those who just want to hear Jesus. It is those who need healing from some kind of an ailment or disease. And it includes those who are troubled by unclean spirits. They were all longing for something, and all in the crowd just wanted to get close enough to touch him. St. Paul encourages the Colossians to keep touching Jesus and not to be led away from the gospel. See to it, he says, that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, and away from Christ, and not according to Christ. So this interesting image which often comes up, even in the New Testament, circumcision, the physical sign of participation in the covenant relationship with God. As always, God works with what is familiar to us and then invites us to a deeper experience of the mystery of who he is. Circumcision, apparently, was practiced elsewhere in the Middle East, even before it became a sign of the Israelite covenant with God. And people will sometimes say, well, this means that women were left out because only the men carried this mark of the covenant. And this is absolutely untrue. The Old Testament prophets consistently explained to the people that the outward sign, a mark on the body, was really intended to be lived out as a spiritual sign using the strange image, or what seems like a strange image to us, the circumcision of the heart. The outward sign meant very little if the inward sign was not present. That was the consistent message of the prophets. So women were fully a part of the covenant relationship with God, even though the men of the family carried the physical mark on their bodies. With Jesus Christ, Paul insists that Christ accomplishes in baptism and through faith what circumcision could only signify in ancient Israel. Baptism is the moment when God cuts away from our hearts the fleshly desires that keep us from loving and obeying him as we should. Baptism is also the answer to the question of how it can be possible for everyone in the crowds to possibly be able to touch Jesus. Obviously, they wouldn't have been able to, even though all wanted to. But through baptism and through faith and through the spiritual mark on our hearts, we unite ourselves to the one who wants to speak to us, to heal us of our infirmities, to bring peace to the troubled spirits within us, to allow us to touch him. Today, I think you know that we are troubled by many things, by many evil spirits. It wasn't just in those days. They gain influence in our lives through doorways that are opened, sometimes by us, sometimes by other people, sometimes by things that have happened to us, even things from childhood. Through these doors, Satan's lies and deceptions limit our access to the blessing of the kingdom of God, to that connection with Jesus. One such is, for example, the spirit of entitlement. And God says to us, asks us to give up our right to prove that we are worthy of the love that he wants to give us freely. Let go of the delusion that causes us to believe that God loves us and forgives us because of something we did, that we somehow deserve the mercy of God. Another demonic spirit that we might consider is unforgiveness. Are there sins for which we have not forgiven ourselves or others? Whatever those spirits are that trouble us today, and there are many, today God offers us once more the opportunity to surrender our whole selves, to reach out and to touch him. Jesus mounted the cross to bear the curses of the old covenant, so the blessings of the new could flow forth to the world. What do we need to nail to that cross? What worldly philosophies and lies have we let into our hearts? What demons, what evil spirits? Today, power will still come out of him, from Jesus, and we will be healed if we will only touch him and let our troubled hearts be healed.